Green light. Okay. Well, is it well with your soul? This moment in time? I certainly hope so. There's nothing better than any person can know is, as the some of the themes of the songs, hymns we were singing tonight, is about having peace. When I got the Pastor Nimlo asked me to be prepared to preach, I started looking for some things to subject matter, and I, a couple weeks ago in one of the bulletins, there was a quote that he had in there that caught my eye by Elizabeth Elliot. If you remember, if you read your bulletin through faithfully and you go through those wonderful truths that are found in there oftentimes and information, you'll remember this. She said, "Peace does not dwell in outward things, but in the heart prepared to wait trustfully and quietly on Him who has all things safely in His hands." We're going to talk about peace, a gift from God, this evening. Let's pray and then we'll continue. Wonderful Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for each soul that's in attendance. I pray, God, for clarity of thought and mind in myself and for everyone here, that as I bring this portion of Scripture, Lord, that it might be a blessing to the saints. And Lord, that you be pleased with seeing our heart of worship. In Christ's name I humbly pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 4, verse 27. It's going to be rather the jump-off point for this message. I'm sure you're very familiar with this portion of Scripture. And even as I read this little quote by this lady, Elizabeth Elliot, I was drawn to some other thoughts that men had had that relate to that subject, and I'll be sharing some of those with you as we go through the message. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." One of our founding fathers, Samuel Adams, reflected this in a statement that he made in one of the letters and the publications that he gave around the time of the Revolutionary War. He said, "If you carefully fulfill the various duties of life from a principle of obedience to your heavenly Father, you shall enjoy that peace which the world cannot give nor take away." That's something that, well, I think every sane person desires to have peace in their life, to see peace in the community that they're around, that they could know peace in our nation. There are over 300 references to peace in the Old Testament and over 100 in the New Testament. So it's obvious God has a lot to say about it and some things that He wants us to know and understand and apply. Now, in the portion of Scripture we're looking at, Jesus presents two kinds of peace: temporal, worldly peace, or the peace that He gives. And He says you can't get His peace from the world. Now, temporal peace, general peace, is described as this by Webster. He said it's in this sense, peace is a state of tranquility, freedom from agitation or disturbance, applicable to society, to individuals, or the temper of the mind. He said it is freedom from internal commotion, it is quietness of mind, freedom from war with foreign powers. And all those things are very, very good and very desirable. But you know, of all the commodities in this world, and peace is real. It's not something that you can exactly lay your hands on, but I'll tell you what, you may not always know if you have peace, especially in the world sense, but I guarantee you you're going to know it when you don't have it. The absence of peace in individuals' lives can bring turmoil, troubles, upset, imbalance, fear. But with peace, we can know a wonderful standing with God, and we can have those things in the world that, you know, I'm a kind of a rut kind of a person. You know, they used to people talk about, you know, getting out of the rut. I like ruts. I like having things going this way. You know, it can go up to the side a little bit, up and down, but not too much. Because that's the way I am. And I like surprises. Like when I got the sunflowers on Sunday, that was a good surprise. There's a lot of things that come into my life that I let take away from my peace. Well, as I said, of all the commodities in the world, peace is perhaps in the shortest supply. The Bible, for instance, talks about that faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. You can't just exactly lay your hands on faith, but if you've got it, it's real to you. And faith can be seen working in the lives of believers, just as we're going to look at later on, that peace, as God gives it, this gift that's linked to the gift of our salvation, is something that's real and that can and should be evidenced in every Christian's life. Gold, silver, platinum, and precious stones are valued for their beauty and scarcity. And though more are produced every year, their supply will one day run out if the Lord delays his return, because everything, by definition, everything in creation is finite. But as we approach the time of the Lord's return, peace, as the world knows it, will become and is becoming more and more rare and hard to find. As the Bible says, wars and rumors of wars going on through the world, the earthquakes, you know, the natural disasters that we see going on even in our own country, hammer blows in Texas, in Florida, big earthquake in Mexico. Those things take away man's peace in the worldly sense. To see people's lives uprooted, it's a terrible thing. But you know, for the believer that's hanging on the promises of God, that has that precious gift of God's peace, inner peace, that's something that can't be stolen or compromised, and that it's something that we can carry with us even when the roof falls in. And we're going to talk about a little bit later there. I'm sure that in each and every one of your lives, there's been some stormy times. There's been some times of trials and suffering when the world, the flesh, the devil was trying to take away your peace. But if we hang on to the promises of God, and if we believe what he says here, that he has given us this peace, then it's something that we should rest in and count and rely on. But while the world's peace waxes and wanes, and you know, and the tranquility and the, you know, and the smooth flow that I really enjoy in life, is that sometimes is disrupted. The one thing that should be a constant with a believer is that inner peace. to know that we're no longer at enmity or at warfare or in rebellion against God in the spiritual sense. That the matter of our spiritual destiny when we leave this world is set and founded in the faith of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His shed blood. That can bring a sense of peace even when, you know, when you're on that roller coaster. I don't like roller coasters, by the way, but I don't mind if other people go on them. But there sometimes are roller coasters in life. And, you know, it's like when you get to the top and you head down, you aren't going to get, you know, you're going to have to go through it. You get to the bottom and you start back up. Sometimes that's the way situations in life are. But, you know, the peace of God that God gives to those who know His Son as their Savior, that goes beyond the external to the spiritual to the internal. And so, for the believer, our focus in life, even though we're going this way through the world, our eyes and our source of our peace is coming from up there. It's coming from God. And I want you to think about this. For the believer that knows and has the sure gift of salvation, the promise of a heavenly home, I want you to remember this and think on this. There's nothing but peace in heaven. There's nothing but peace in heaven. All the things that try to compromise and steal our peace that we have in this world is going to be gone forever when we leave this world and we go home. Then we'll really know perfect peace. The peace that passes all understanding that we'll talk about a little bit will be in the very presence of God. Everything that will be gone that can take away and steal our peace will be forever taken away because we'll be in the very presence of God. And the promise that we have now and the peace that we can enjoy is founded in not what we see or think or feel, but what God says and the promise that He has given us of the forgiveness of sins and the sure knowledge of a heavenly home waiting for us when we leave this world. That's what enabled Abraham to be prepared to offer his son as a sacrifice to God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, it says, "For he, Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." So you see, Abraham, as he was going through life, and he went through some stuff too. Lot was captured in his family that one time, and they were packed off, and he had to get together an army, and they went out and took those boys out. He saw Lot go down into Sodom and Gomorrah and go through some terrible things. He had challenges in his life, but he, as I see exemplified in all the great saints, as Paul, what was it that enabled Paul to go through shipwrecks and beatings and torture and still get back up, dust himself off, stonings, dust himself off and keep on going? It's because while he was traveling through this world on the horizontal plane, his mind was here, was directed this way. He knew that his peace of God, the peace of that he had with God, was settled forever. And he counted his life, he said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. He really believed that and he lived that. And that's the heart truly that we should have too in our service to God. God's peace goes beyond the external aspects of peace and extends into the inner spirit of man. Webster defines this as heavenly rest, the happiness of heaven. And you know, you've probably seen the little saying, N-O, no, Jesus, N-O, know peace? K-N-O-W, Jesus, know Jesus. K-N-O-W, know peace. Truly, the only real peace that's lasting is the peace that we can have with God through knowing His Son as our Savior. Have your Bible, turn over to Isaiah 26, verse 3. This is, again, is a familiar verse. There's no surprises in it for you, but we're going to want to look at it nonetheless. Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." That term, perfect peace, in the Hebrew, which the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. It was the traditional greeting of the Hebrews. It's like we say, how are you doing? But it had a deeper meaning. Peace. The Jews didn't always know peace in their life and in their national life. But nevertheless, they treasured peace and they understood what God had said, that true peace comes from Him. And that word perfect peace from the Hebrew is shalom, shalom. It's as God is saying, peace on top of peace, peace multiplied by peace, perfect peace. For the individual whose mind is stayed or it's fixed or it's leaning on or it's taken a hold of God because they trust in Thee, they put their whole heart and mind, they've gone to God for refuge and are resting in His hand. And it says there further, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." That's that term Lord Jehovah is only found in one other place in the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. The word, this is what it's really talking about. Lord, Yah, was the word that the Jews used. It was the most holy word to use for God. Then Jehovah talks about His self-existent, eternal nature. And so, the people were exhorted, we're exhorted today to remember who this one is that we put our faith and trust in. The one that indeed is, you know, for the believer, God has got your soul in His hand. He really does. He has a personal lookout for each and every one of us that have been born into His family that can truly claim Him as Father and that can truly claim sonship with Him. Peace is something that God offers to every individual in the spiritual sense. The moment in time that we believe on Him as Savior, the stumbling blocks, the barriers to a relationship and real blessing in life are taken away. And you know, the world treasures peace. But I think way back, there's probably nobody here that maybe Sister Adams could remember. I remember back when the Today Show, back in the 50s, early 50s, there was a man on there. We used to watch it once in a while when I was a kid, probably in the winter or something, or when it was raining, you couldn't go outside and do something. But the man that used to end the show, his name was Dave Garraway. And at the end of the show, he would hold up his hand and he would say, "Peace." And, you know, I never thought a whole lot about it, but when I think back, you know, this was in the years right after World War II and the Korean War, and for a lot of those people, you know, they'd known many, many years when there wasn't any peace in the world. And the picture that he was offering or hoping, wishing that people could have peace in their life, it's something that I think about today. You don't hear that very much anymore. Any concerns from celebrities or people about people's physical condition or their let alone their spiritual condition. We can experience perfect peace when we have absolute confidence in God and His Word. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "It is when we think much of Christ that we think little of our troubles, little of our doubts and fears that surround us." And again, for me, it's a steep learning curve for me. Nevertheless, I've got a heart to try to grow and to know more of the peace that God offers simply by taking my hands off. You know, I teach and preach this all the time. You know, if you really want to know God's blessing, you got to take your hands off the steering wheel of life and let Him take control. It's not hard to do. I've been driving for 50 years and I'm used to having my hands on the wheel. But I'm learning that to take the hands off of the control of my life and to put it in the hands of the Lord is the absolutely best thing that we can do. Most of the world's people hunger and thirst for peace, but never seem to find it. If peace isn't interrupted by war, then it may be natural disasters, economic downturns, illness, death, rampant crime and rioting that causes lives to become unsettled. Personal relationships. The specter that we have in marriages today, half of marriages going south. I know what that's about. But, you know, no peace. No peace in a lot of families. Husbands and wives that don't love one another, that don't love their children. No peace. You can't buy it. People try to manufacture or create peace by their external surroundings, the things that they do and fill their life with. Some are successful to a degree. Money. People think if you got enough money, you know, they can insulate themselves from the problems and the cares that are around them. Most of the time it doesn't work. Most of the time, and people try to fill their lives with things that will fulfill them emotionally, make them feel good. But in the end, no real peace. One of the sweetest ladies that I ever knew was my cousin Donald's wife. I worked for that family after my dad died, lots in the summers on the farm. And she was one of the sweetest ladies I ever met. And happy, you know, and a pretty good mother. She was, and, you know, I got to know her, and we were part of the family almost. But she contracted cancer when she was just in her early 50s and passed away. And I remember I heard from one of her, from my sister, that she had talked to the family, and she said that when June Girth was dying, she said that she was afraid to die. And as a lost man, you know, and at that time, you know, I was a good, like, you know, I felt like I was a good Christian, just like, you know, every other family that went to church and did a little bit of, been confirmed and did all this and that. And I wondered why this lady that had such a wonderful life, why at the end of it she didn't have any peace about where she was going. I thought if anybody should know that they were going to get to heaven, it would be a person like that. And I thought that if she didn't have peace about where she was going, then how could I? About you. You have absolute peace about that if you left this world today, that you'd be ushered into the presence of God because you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you can't say that, and if you don't have that personal knowledge, you need to get right with God, even in this moment in time, to repent of your sins and seek God's forgiveness, that you can have the peace that passes all understanding, peace that can't be stolen from you. Turn over to Isaiah 57, verse 19 through 21. We better get rolling here. You see, you guys are just like my Sunday school class. They always ask so many questions, you can never get anything done. Well, maybe not really. Isaiah 57, 19 through 21. God said, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace, to him that is far off, that is, typifies lost people, perhaps, and to him that is near, saved people, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. He said, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, which cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Now, don't get the idea that a wicked person is like Saddam Hussein or Adolf Hitler or the axe murderer or something like that. God views every lost person as being wicked because they've refused the call to repent and believe the gospel. The term wicked is simply synonymous for an unsaved person. It's like the simple person or the scorner or the mocker. Synonymous, and it pictures the spiritual condition, the spiritual heart of that individual. And God says that this peace is available to everybody, to every individual. To those that are far off, that are far away from him, he will bring them in to his family if they're willing to repent and believe. And he says, I create the fruit of the lips. That word create there is the word that's only used by God, bara, to picture creation. The matter of salvation is a special creation. It's a special gift of God that can only come from him. You can't earn your way right with God. You aren't going to get in the back door through your good works. There's no pass. There's no get-home-free card. It's only going to come through the spiritual birth, being born again into the family of God. And for all else, well, you know, we shouldn't wonder why that the world is going through the turmoil that we see in our cities and across the world. It's because people's hearts aren't right with God. They can't share peace with anybody. They can't live in peace because they don't have it themselves. And the wicked, well, their lives, and the picture that we have there of the stormy seas, if you've ever been by the ocean when the rollers are coming in, and it's wild and it's unsettled, and that's the way many of those people's lives are. And again, when he says peace, peace, that's shalom, shalom, perfect peace. It only comes from God. We'll never know complete peace in this world, for the sinful, corrupt nature of man will never allow it. We'll never know that perfect peace as we would like. I like the straight and narrow, but no matter how hard I try, it seems like I'm always running into stumbling blocks. It seems like there's always some challenge. There's always some failure. There's always something that gets in my life to try to steal the peace that I try to surround myself with. But when I lose that, that's when I go back to God. And I remember, you know, I try to not to dwell on what I don't have, but remember what I do have. That the Lord has me, and I have a part of in his family. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the very God, the God of peace, sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's something that the believer can look forward to be able to be with the Lord when he returns, when he judges righteous judgments in this world. And even in the millennial reign, we know that there are going to be people that will be saved, people that won't get saved during the millennial reign. But when he, at the end of the millennium, when God creates a new heaven, a new earth, and sin is taken away, and we're in the presence of God for eternity, then we'll know that perfect peace. I long for that. I'm getting tired of this old body. I'm getting tired of this sinful self. I'm ready to go. Because I know I'm going to a better place. Or I won't have to fight the struggle through life anymore. I'm ready to go. But as long as the Lord has life for me and for you, we need to remember and to keep, you know, we're on the uphill, we're really on the uphill climb. The grave isn't the end. Just for the lost person, you got a terrible end. Remember I said that there's only peace in heaven. There is no peace in hell. It's a place of anguish and torment and suffering, eternal separation from God. That's what the lost person faces. God's perfect peace is available to us all. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I like using that. The Lord Jesus Christ is the full title of our Savior. He is our Master. He is our Savior. He is the anointed Savior, the one and only. Isaiah 32, verse 17, it says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." We can have peace in this life. We can have that quietness, blessed quietness that comes upon our soul when we know that the matter of our eternal destination is settled in Christ. He is, after all, Isaiah 9:6, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the what? Prince of Peace. He's the source of all peace. And he's watching over our prosperity, and the God is the giver of all blessings. The closer we examine and meditate upon Scripture, we learn that peace, faith, and joy are related or linked together. Without saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there can be no true peace in the heart of man. As this peace, it can't be known by the lost soul, neither can the joy of the Lord. With believing faith, then comes the peace of God and the joy of knowing your eternal destiny is settled and sealed. Romans 14, verse 17 says, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Again, you know, happiness is wonderful. It's good to be happy. Happiness can be stolen, and that can wax and wane. We, you know, most people, they work really hard to create happiness, you know, that nice pathway in life. And that's good. I love being happy, you know. I'm happy sometimes, you know. You maybe don't believe that, but I am. I'm happy right now, you know, but I'm one of those rut guys. I'm an old Minnesota farm boy, old Swede, old German Swedes. They grit their teeth. They don't show emotion. Well, there's some things I do get emotional about, but it's not things that I can get my hands on. It's the things that God has given me. And so, joy is a product of the peace that we can have with Christ that only comes through having faith in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." That's a loaded verse. Oh boy. That preaches. The world's hope is a maybe, think so, want to be kind of hope. But the hope that the Christian has for everlasting life and the promises of fulfillment in life and in the next, it's founded in the promises of God. God's word cannot fail. And for those of us who have believed, we can have that joy, the inner joy. You know, you can be beat up and hanging on the fence and still have joy in the spiritual sense. I know, I've been there. The darkest times in my life when all there was that little dot of light left. That was the Lord. There were times when I had to fight for 10 minutes in a day when I could really talk to God and know His presence because of the body, soul, and spirit. I was on the rocks. When I came home that day in November of 93, when my wife's wedding was sitting on the table and the note was there that said she was gone and never coming back, I knew it was true. Blackest time of my life. For years and years. Years and years of struggling with it. But the Lord allowed it for Jim Girth to get a little stronger. To get from out in Sourdough, Alaska, up here to sit at my pastor's feet. And the one thing that kept me going was what I had in the Lord. I had inner peace. I sure wasn't happy. I used to go over to Sam's Club over there, and I'd go by the stack of Honey Nut Cheerios. This old guy would stand there crying because I remembered how my son would say, "Well, I sure love those Honey Nut Cheerios, Dad." Not a lot of peace in the world did I have, but I had peace here. That's what kept me going. And it can and should keep us going. It should be the motivator to want to please God, to live for Him, because He died for us. Get a handle on that. What God did for us, that we can have this peace that passes all understanding, is something awesome. A great many people are trying to make peace, but that has already been done. God has not left it for us to do. All we have to do is enter into it. That was a quote by D.L. Moody. When storms in life come, and they will, the best thing that we can do is to seek God's rest and comfort and safety. But you know, for me, a lot of times when I get confronted with something, tough times, you know, I'll fret and stew and try to work things out. Maybe it starts off as a little problem or a sin issue. And deal with. And then finally, when it gets to the point where it's overwhelming, then I finally go to God. And I really, you know, I'm always talking to Him, but I really get before Him and lay it before God. And then oftentimes what He does is He says to me, "Jim, why didn't you come to me sooner? Why do you keep beating your head against the wall, trying to figure it out and to make things work in your own strength? When I'm here to help you, if you'll just come to me and seek my face and seek my will." And most often, He gives me the solution to what I need to do, but not very often a quick fix. You know, sometimes when we get into the storms in life, It's kind of like the lake or the old, the lake, especially when you get a good storm, you get the wind, you get the waves going, the wind quits, and the waves keep rolling. Kind of the ripple effect. That's sometimes the way it is in my life and perhaps yours too, when you're going through some things and you get the solution, you begin going forward, but it doesn't end right away. Sometimes we just have to endure, and it's only in those times when God's peace, when the comfort that He gives, that's everything that we need and all that we need. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." And so I'll just leave you with this thought, and it's for me. Perhaps the reason we don't have more peace in life is because we don't go to the one who can give it. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives it. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We can have a surety in life. God will help us to deal with our troubles and our doubts and our fears if we're willing to come and trust in Him as our Savior. But also remember, the promise of inner peace only comes through having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have that, you cannot know the peace that passes all understanding. I can't explain it to you. If you're a saved person, you know something of what I'm talking about. We're all different. But if we have that gift of salvation, we should know that peace and that God gives. We're no longer at odds with Him. And we have a permanent, forever relationship and a home settled in heaven. So I leave you with that this evening and hope that you'll consider your position with God and thank Him for being the God of peace.